If you are new with us, this is not normal, not the laughter part, but what we're going to do right now. I want to play a game with you. And it's a game that my guess is a lot of you have probably played before. It's a game called Mad Libs. Do you know it? Just nod your head if you do. If you don't, that's okay. We're going to teach you how to play it. It comes in all sorts of different shapes and sizes and varieties, but ultimately what Mad Libs is it's a story with blanks that you get to fill in. So there's an ultimate author, which isn't you, but you get to participate. You get to choose words that then fill in the story. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're looking up here, not at your bulletin insert. We are going to do a Mad Libs or two that has to do with dogs. All right? Anybody game for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep in mind this is being recorded and we are in church. Okay? So, how this works is I will just ask for something and you guys shout it out and I'll pick the one that sounds most, we'll see. So, this title of this one is called Homeward Bound. And again, dealing with animals. So, somebody shout out a place. McDonald's, I like that. McDonald's, okay. Somebody shout out an adjective. If you don't know, somebody help me out. What is an adjective? A describing word, okay. I heard happy. McDonald's makes me happy too. Okay, next blank is person in the room, a female. Be nice. Wait. Dorothy, thank you. Dorothy, are you willing to play along? You don't have to do anything. Thank you, Dorothy, for being a good sport. Okay, give me a number. I heard two, okay? Give me a verb, past tense. Left. That's a verb, right? Okay. Past tense, give me another person in the room. Dan? Dan. Dan, it's good to meet you. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. First time here. He gets his name written down. Okay. Reminder again, in church and it's being recorded. Okay. Part of the body, plural. Toes? I heard toes. Okay. Very good. Noun.
Here.
What'd you say? Here? Like here. Here. Okay. Can I say church? Okay. That's a person, a place, or a thing. Okay. Adjective, descriptive word. Purple? I'm gonna go purpley. Just because oftentimes adjectives end in ly. Okay? Are those adverbs? Sorry, purple. Purple it is. Okay? Give me another noun. We're only going to end up playing one of these. I was hoping for four or five. Guitar. Okay. Give me another noun. Somebody else from the middle and the back. You're in the front and the back, or in the middle of the side. Chair. Chair, okay. Very good. Another person in the room. Michael, says his son. Okay. A type of liquid.
Water.
Thank you. Okay. And final thing is an adjective. Smelly. Okay, so the idea of Mad Libs is you give me words and we get to participate in the story, right? So this is the story you guys have written about Homeward Bound. In the McDonald's today, one happy family was reunited with their beloved dog, Dorothy, who made her way home after being missing for 2 days. "She just showed up on our front door this morning and left," said Dan. "We couldn't believe our toes." The family dog disappeared after leaving the family's front yard to chase a wild church one afternoon. And the family has been worried purple ever since. They put up lost guitar signs all over the neighborhood and even put a chair in the local newspaper. "We have no idea where she's been all this time," said Michael. "But we're just happier than a pig in water that she's home again. We can't wait to spoil her smelly." Homeward bound. You get the idea of Mad Libs, right? Okay, let me pray. No. Lord, we are grateful, again, that we get a smile, that we get a laugh, and that we get to spend this time with you. We're grateful that our journey with you can be fun. And I pray that this morning, as we open your word, you would remind us of the goodness of who you are in our story. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, grab your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 22. Also, take out that bulletin insert, which you all should have by now. It's got two sides. One side looks like an outline. One side looks kind of like a Mad Libs game. Ignore the Mad Libs game for now. We're going to get back to that, so just hold on to the, be looking at the outline side of things. Okay? And please, there we go, I said please, so that's nice. We are in week six, a seven-week sermon series that we have titled, somebody help me, Praise God, right? We are looking at the seven Hebrew words found in the Old Testament that we translate as the one word, praise. So far, if we're on week six, we've learned five of them. Let's see how good your memory is. Show me what yada is. Yada. Okay, good. To raise hands. Show me what halal is. You don't have to stand to do this. There we go. We probably should have had Ken stand to do that. That was good, Ken. To dance. Zamer is the next one. You remember that one? To make music. To make music. Tada. Anybody remember that? Elena, you should. So yes, kind of sounds like magic tricks. To give thanks, an expected thankful praise. And last week, we looked at the word Barak, which meant to kneel in praise of who God is, what he does. If you remember last week, I used Colin Kaepernick as kind of that hook to get your attention, and it did. But I ended up this past week having a wonderful conversation with somebody who came and said to me, they said, "James, if Barak means to kneel in praise, then you've got the wrong example." Fair enough. I said, elaborate, explain. And this person went on to tell me that, you know, Colin's just kneeling in protest. But there is another football player, or used to be football player, who would kneel to pray before games. He would kneel to praise God before games. And he never did it for media attention, and yet he still got all sorts of attention, right? Tim Tebow. I think I got, yep, both up there. It was a fantastic conversation, and one that I deeply valued. I've been thinking about it all this week. Barak is to kneel in praise of God. So you know who you are. Thank you for having that conversation with me. This week, we look at the next word for praise. It's the sixth Hebrew word for praise that we'll look at, and the word is Tehillah. Tehillah. Go ahead and say that out loud. Tehillah. Tehillah is only used 57 times in the Old Testament, so a lot less than like Barak, which was used 293 just in the Psalms. But don't let this lesser usage fool you. It is still a powerful word with important meaning. In fact, here's a little squirrel moment. We call these 150 chapters in the middle of the Bible the Psalms. In the Hebrew language, they're called the Tehillim. The Tehillim. So what does it mean? How can we define Tehillah, the word we're looking at today? Well, according to the book Holy Roar, which has been a significant resource for this series, Tehillah means a hymn, a song of praise, or a new or spontaneous song. A hymn, a song of praise, or a new or spontaneous song. Now, as you can tell, this sounds similar to a word we've looked at before, zamer. And if you remember, when I preached on zamer, I said there's different times and places when we can zamer, and one of those times is spontaneously. We talked about a Russian gentleman who stood up in the middle of a church service and started singing a brand new song during the service. That was zamer. So maybe you're wondering, well, what's the difference between zamer and Tehillah? Well, there's one difference, and that is that Tehillah has the connotation, it has an additional meaning that Zamer didn't. And I like to explain it like this. Tehillah is about storied praises. Storied praises. What does that mean? Well, it means it's the type of praise that we tell the story of what God is doing in our lives. The type of praise that shows that you are part of a story that's written by an ultimate author, but you get to fill in some of the blanks to fill in the story. Storied praise. Psalm 22, hopefully you've gotten there by now, is a psalm I've referenced a time or two over this past series. It's the psalm that Jesus quoted while he was on the cross. And it begins like this. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Verse 2, every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. Psalmist isn't in a good place right now. I mean, he's feeling lonely, feeling left, abandoned, neglected. I mean, he's in a dark, lonely place, it seems, which makes verse 3 all the more out of the blue. Verse 3 says this, yet you alone are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. You are holy, enthroned on the Tehillah of Israel. Enthroned on the praises. The book Holy Roar says the notion of Psalm 22:3 is beautiful. When we offer new songs of praise, our spontaneous Tehillah, the Lord steps from his heavenly courts and takes residence among the congregation. God inhabits the Tehillah or is enthroned on the Tehillah. Pretty cool, right? The idea of God leaving his heavenly throne and coming in, and I mean, it's pretty cool if you understand it, which I kind of do but kind of don't. So I was digging more to figure out, really, what does this mean? What does this word mean? How could it make sense to me? And in looking at one of the scholarly academic commentaries that I use, the New International Commentary in the Old Testament, they said it in a way that just made sense. Okay, so again, the verse is this. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Enthroned, according to this commentary, literally means to sit on. It means to sit on. So bear with me for a second, and you'll get where I'm going with this. Okay? At Man Camp. That's not Man Camp. I didn't get a picture of what took place at Man Camp. But at Man Camp, I watched as an older boy chased around a younger boy. They had both been harassing each other throughout the 2 days we were there. Now, as is always the case when younger boys harass older boys, the older boy caught the younger boy. Always the case. And he, not so gently, put him on the ground, and then he sat on him. You ever had that happen to you? Most girls are like, no, never. Most guys are like, yes, so many times. When you are being sat on top of like that, there is an immediacy in the moment. There is, if they're bigger than you, you might have trouble breathing. You know, if you're being sat on in playfulness, there might be laughter, but because you're having trouble breathing, that laughter is hindered laughter because you can't catch your breath. In the moment that you're being sat on, you're not thinking about school starting on Tuesday. You're not thinking about what you had for breakfast. The only thing you can think of is the person who is sitting on top of you. So your entire focus is that person. Does that make sense? When you're being sat on, your entire focus is that person. That's Tehillah. That is the word Tehillah. That type of praise. The entire focus is on God. The entire type of song is on God. It's 100% focused on him who is enthroned upon, who is sitting upon the praises of his people. Whether it's praises of joy or praises of sorrow, either, when we are Tehillah-ing, either shows that God, that Yahweh is our Lord, our utmost focus at that time. We don't have any choice but to make him our focus. Because every part of the story that we're telling is storied praise about God. In Psalm 22, 1-3, it's as if the psalmist is saying, God, I don't feel you right now. I've wondered where you are, but I'm still going to tell the story of how you've been active in my life. The people that are your people are still going to tell the story of God. That's why the next couple of verses, he starts unpacking that. Yet you are holy, Psalm 22, verse 3, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and you were never disgraced. In the middle of the pain of this psalm, the psalmist still says, I want to tell the story of God. Of God's rescue, of his salvation, of his protection, of his not letting his people be disgraced. You know, it shouldn't surprise us at all that when this word is used outside of the Psalms, it's almost always at the beginning of or right in the middle of somebody telling a story. All right? I'm going to give three examples. Go home and read these stories in entirety later today, but I'll just give one verse in each. The first is this. After the Israelites were set free from bondage in Egypt, you guys know, because I've said it in the last 7 weeks, that Moses led the people in a song of celebration. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, it says, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, that's the word, Tehillah. Awesome in Tehillah, working wonders. Moses is saying, we're about to tell the story of God. And then he goes on to tell this magnificent story of what God has done. Second example, the book of Nehemiah, mentioned this also a few times in this series. The Israelites had just rebuilt the wall. It took them 52 days, even though they had opposition. Not too long after the Israelites rebuilt the wall, the people gathered together to hear the word of the Lord read. And a few days later, they gathered together to confess their sins to God. And in that gathering, we see the leadership of the people say this. Then the leaders of the Levites, a whole bunch of names that we can't really pronounce confidently, so we'll just bypass over them. We would call them J-K-B-H-S-H-S-P. They all called out to the people, stand up and praise the Lord your God, for he lives from everlasting to everlasting. Then they prayed, may your glorious name be praised, may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. The words they're praise are Tehillah. I think the last one is Tehillah. Storied praise. If you go back to this chapter later this afternoon, Nehemiah chapter 9, you're going to find that in verse 6, the leaders, they start praying through God's story. So verse 6 is about creation. Verse 7 is about Abraham, and you just keep going from there. They mentioned everything from Egypt to the wilderness wanderings, from taking over the promised land to their rebellion to God's restoration. 31 verses. In that chapter, about storied praise, the people's story of what God is doing in their lives, Tehillah. Now, third example, in the book of 2 Chronicles, the author is recounting some of the military exploits, the wins and losses of God's people. And the author tells one story of the Israelites doing battle with a group of surrounding nations, and can listen in on the story, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 to 22. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and Tehillah-ing him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. That's the word Tehillah right there. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. At the very moment that people started to Tehillah, God wreaked havoc. He caused confusion. When the people started remembering, telling the story of what God had done for them, that's when God moved. Tehillah, storied praise, telling what God has done, and in so doing, realizing he is sitting on top of your praises. Now, we jump into the Psalms, we'll just hit a few of them, and we'll see the same thing happens. Anytime this word is used, it's at the beginning of or in the middle of a story. Psalm 34, verse 1, talks about when they should Tehillah. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his Tehillah. Constantly speak. Next one is Psalm 35, and this is after a psalm about God fighting on behalf of David. David finishes the psalm with this. Then I will proclaim your justice, and I will Tehillah you. I will praise you all day long. You're getting the idea that this is something important to David. Now, so important that in Psalm 51, which if you recognize, that's the story, that's the psalm that David wrote after he had been caught in adultery. Okay? He had adultery with Bathsheba. He killed Bathsheba's husband. He got called out by Nathan the prophet. And in the middle of that calling out, he's writing this psalm. And this is great. In the middle of that psalm, verse 15, David says, I want you to forgive me, Lord, so that I can tell the story of what's taking place right now. Psalm 51:15 says this, unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you, that my mouth may tehillah you, may tell the story of what you're doing. I mean, he's in the middle of a mess right now, and he's saying, God, forgive me and unseal my lips so I can tell what you have done. This is worth sharing. There's other passages like this also. Psalm 66, verses 1 to 8 is a great one. I won't read all of it, but at the end of it, it's recounting just, you know, what God has done. Tell the world, sing his praises, come and see what our God has done. Verse 8 says, let the whole world bless our God. That's Barak. Let the whole world praise our God and loudly sing his praises, his tehillah. Now, perhaps the best example of this idea of tehillah is in Psalm 78. Psalm 78, it's an entire chapter that recounts God's story. The psalmist starts like this. He says, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories that we have heard and known. Stories that our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds, that word glorious, the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his mighty power and his wonders. That word glorious is the word tehillah. We see it a little bit better translated in Psalm 78, verse 4, the New American Standard Version. It says this, we will not conceal them from our children, but tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his work and his wondrous works that he has done. The tehillah of the Lord. The rest of this psalm, 72 verses, is divided up into two sections. Both sections show God's acts, the people's rebellions, God's grace, his response. Both are showing God's tehillah, 72 verses of it. The people singing this, saying, this has been what you have done in our lives, the good and the bad, the smiles and the tears, the laughter and the pain. Are you getting the picture of what tehillah is? It's a powerful word, a powerful word. Yes, it's a song. Yes, it means to praise. Yes, it means to spontaneously praise, but I really see it as a spontaneous, storied praise. Storied praise that tells what God is doing in our lives. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to be set to meter or stanza. You don't have to have it on a beat, but it's an open declaration of this is what God is doing in my life. So here's the question I've been asking at the end of every one of these sermons, and ask it at a lot of the end of the sermons. What do we do? So what? Right? Do we leave like, good sermon, Pastor, I really like what that word meant, or do we actually do something with this? Well, I say we do something with it, and we're going to do something today. Go ahead and take that bulletin insert and turn it over, okay? Yes, it looks like a Mad Libs for God, and this time you get to know the story and some of the words that you're filling in, but what I would love for us to do, and we're going to give you a little bit of time, is I want you to write your own tehillah. Your own spontaneous song of praise telling what God has done in your life. You see the blanks, you see the words that we're looking for, verbs, adverbs, place. Take a few moments, and as you're writing, if you want to, imagine God sitting on your chest, but it's with a smile, and he's looking forward to hearing what you're going to say. Okay? I'm going to give you seven, eight, nine-ish minutes to work on this. We're going to have a little music playing quietly in the background. If there are a few brave souls after, during our offering, we will have songs of praise written by some of you. Does that make sense? Do you have any questions as to what we're doing? If we don't have any questions, I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing. Okay? You've got some time to work on your tehillah. Ready, set, go.